Thank you, Gabby, for helping out.
All right. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, Revelation 12. And we are going to go through lesson number 28. The Assisted Remnant is the title of lesson number 28. And we also have lesson 29 available. All right. So if you need lesson 28 or lesson 29, raise your hands and our ushers will get that to you. Lesson 28 or 29. Lesson 28, the Assisted Remnant. Lesson 29, the Arising Beast from the Sea. All right, get those passed out. That'll be good. Again, we are in Revelation chapter 12 and 13, actually, is section 5. And we're talking about the appearance of seven key characters. And again, they do not appear chronologically as far as any timeline. That's not the issue here. They are a part of the tribulation. God simply tells us, gives us information about them. They are key characters during the tribulation time and in this portion of the book of Revelation. The first character was the woman, who is Israel. The second character is the dragon, who is Satan. The third character is the child, who is Jesus. The fourth character, Michael, the archangel. And the fifth character is called the remnant. And the remnant, the seed of the woman. So we believe these are saved Jews, particularly, although I wouldn't rule out it being saved people. But there's a remnant, the remnant of her seed, as it's referred to. And so we call them the assisted remnant. I love this this passage. It's kind of short. There isn't a whole lot said about the remnant here, but I look at myself as being the remnant, kind of, you know, as a saved person. And though we're not going through the Great Tribulation, please don't misunderstand. We are not going through the Great Tribulation. And we won't, I believe. I believe the church will be called out, will be caught up together in the rapture, and we'll be out of here before the Great Tribulation. But we do have tribulation. We do have trials. We do have troubles. And everybody in this room is susceptible to those kinds of things. We have valleys. I was preaching in chapel this week, and I talked about, we all like those mountains, but we don't like the valleys. But you have to understand that the end of every mountain is going to be a valley. And then again, if you are between mountains, there's going to be a valley. And that is life. It is kind of how it goes. Our life is not a plateau, though Paul talked about because of his relationship with the Lord. He was in the heavenlies. And so spiritually, he was above the world all the time. He was walking with Jesus, and that is in the heavenlies. But that doesn't mean that physically, I mean, we know he was beaten, he was captured, he was imprisoned. I mean, he suffered shipwreck. Certainly, physically, there were lots and lots of valleys. But he talked about being in the heavenlies and just, again, not oblivious to what's going on, but just walking with God. And, you know, you can rejoice in the Lord always, as the Bible says. This month, we're celebrating or we're observing the time for Thanksgiving. And, you know, there's so many people that, well, you know, what's there to be thankful for? Look at the economy. Look at this. Wow, there is so much to be thankful for. And during the tribulation, there will be a remnant. God takes care of them. God protects them. And they are assisted by the Lord. They are assisted. The Jews, as far as the woman, we've already read how God protects him. Is that Petra? Possibly it is, but it doesn't matter where that actually ends up being. God certainly is going to protect them. You say, yeah, but people are going to have their heads cut off, and they're going to, yes, and they are going to end up dying for their faith. Many will die for their faith. Some of us may die for our faith as well. But don't misunderstand. God is there the whole time. God is protecting the whole time. And when it is time, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. How many of you have been with someone when they died? Anybody? Several people have. I have been with Christians when they died. And it's always been, I've never had a situation where it wasn't peaceful, where it wasn't a sweet thing, where they, I'm thinking of folks that died and they were smiling. You know, and I've been with folks just before they died, and they're looking at someone, and it's obvious. And you know, you kind of look around like, okay, I don't see anyone else here. You know, it's as thy days, so shall thy strength. Oh, yeah, but having your head cut off, that's a terrible. Well, I'll tell you one thing, it'd be quick. I'm not looking for that. I'm not, I'm not a volunteer, all right? If we're going to have head cuttings off in the parking lot after, I'm not going to volunteer, okay? Dunk tank, maybe, head cut off. No, I'm not interested. I've become very well attached to my head. But again, you know, and I don't want to make light, Christians are dying in our world. Christians are dying for the cause of Christ. That does not mean that God doesn't watch over them and care for them and protect them and make death a wonderful thing. Again, we can't understand it. I've never died. I don't know what it bothers me to think of it just because I've never done it. But I do know that God's promises are true. And here we see that, all right? And I didn't mean to get preaching here, but I am a preacher, and so it just kind of happens natural. Lesson number 28, our memory verse is Revelation 12, 17. We possibly will finish. It is a very short lesson. But so I doubt that we'll be able to memorize this. Let's go ahead and say it a couple of times. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, 17. And again, Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, 17. Father, thank you that you protect us. Thank you for your watching over us. Thank you that even in death you have promised that you would give us the strength that we need to cross over, to go to a place that we can only imagine and a place that is the very best place. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us now to recognize that even during the tribulation, you will take care of your people. And so please just give us the truth from thy word that'll make a difference in our lives today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so in lesson 28, we give number one, the description of the remnant. We give number two, the decision of the remnant. And we give number three, the destiny of the remnant. Number one, the description of the remnant. And I've broken this down into two things. Number one is the people, or capital A. Capital B, their protection. The people here, very clearly, the Bible says, the remnant of her seed. All right? Verse 17, right in the middle there, the remnant of her seed. Now, the seed of the woman, we've talked about the woman being Israel, and even could take that broader to spiritual Israel, saved people. Certainly, as we think of the hatred that Satan has, he does have a hatred for the Jews. It's been seen over and over through history. When God allows him and his working in humanity, God's people Israel have been absolutely persecuted to the nth degree. Very clear, we see that in history. But also we see God's people, Christians, God's people, the saved people, when God allows it, I mean, Satan, there is a hatred, because there's a hatred for God. It's who you associate with, and when you associate with God, the devil hates you. You just might as well plan on that, and you might as well count on that. Now, these people, the people here, are the remnant of her seed, and that being Israel. These are saved Jews, I believe. And so we have to understand, not all Jews get saved during the tribulation. There will be Jews not saved, I believe, but there are many that will be saved. Again, you are not saved just because you're a Jew. You are not saved just because you're a Baptist. You are not saved just because you get baptized. You are not saved just because you do good things. You are saved because you are born again, because you trusted Jesus Christ to save you and take away your sins and forgive you of your sins. And that's all based on the blood of Jesus Christ and not based upon who your parents are on this earth or what religion you happen to be or what good works you happen to do. It's all based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, and that's how we're saved, all right? So again, during the tribulation, we recognize that there are going to be some people, and there will be many Jews that get saved. Now, some would say the remnant is the 144,000. Certainly, I believe the 144,000 are saved, but I think that they are going out and they are winning others to Christ. We already talked about that as soul winners on the earth. And so I believe that it's... not only the 144,000, but also those that have been saved since the tribulation started. Again, none enter the tribulation saved, all right? They are saved people are gone with the rapture of the church, but many will get saved during the tribulation. That's very, very clear in the scripture. And so again, these people are called the remnant of her seed. And there are other identifying things that we'll talk about here in a few minutes. So think about this now, and I just kind of wrote this down because it's important to me. God protects a lot of folks until they get saved. Have you ever thought about that? And certainly something during the month of Thanksgiving, if you're having a hard time coming up with stuff, which I can't imagine any American Christian having trouble coming up with stuff. Well, you know, I'm wanting to give a testimony. I just can't think of anything. All right? Think about this. If you are saved today, now you may be here and you've never been saved and you're in a good place to get saved. And I hope you do get saved. But if you're saved today, understand this. You didn't die before you got saved. I mean, that is an amazing thing. And as I think about Israel, and again, some of this is, you know, you struggle. Okay, who is the woman totally and all this? But obviously, God has protected Israel, the woman. We talked about it. Two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. I mean, the dragon. If you can imagine Satan and his hatred, and when he gets an opportunity, all you have to do is look at the Holocaust. When he gets an opportunity, when God opens the door, when God allows him to do his thing, wow, he's nasty. Study Job. I mean, he's ruthless when God lets him. And so, again, you know, God, though, is protecting his people and the Jews, and they are going to be protected all the while, and I think there's other protection. I believe that with all my heart. There is, and we'll get into that with some of these other judgments. But again, you know, you just think God's protecting them until they get saved. They're going to get opportunities to get saved. And I think back to my life, you know, as a young person, you know, the Palm Sunday tornado, 1965, that was headed on a path, and again, I've told you, you can get on the internet, you can see the paths of these tornadoes now. They've got maps, and they map those out, and I know right here, Manitow Beach, Devil's Lake area had the Palm Sunday tornado there, and a lot of our people affected by that. But I've gone back, and I've looked at the map of the tornado that was headed for our house. And we had no basement, and we were in a bathroom that you know, again, there was some protection, but that tornado destroyed the I&M Indiana and Michigan Electric Company substation. It destroyed buildings at the VA hospital, which are all within a quarter mile to a half mile of our home. But that tornado was headed, I mean, literally, it was taking a path headed right for our house. And there was a valley in the woods just maybe two blocks from our house. And we lived in a housing addition. And there was a valley there. And literally, you know, it was just a little valley. It wasn't a big valley. And that tornado, when it got to that valley, it followed the valley around our addition. And then it hit the Indiana and Michigan substation, electric company substation, and buildings at the VA hospital. And I mean you can look at the map and you can see how it within two blocks of our house, a block and a half even, it goes right around. You know.
Well, you know, that's because the curvature of the earth and blah 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 blah.
Well, you know, in my mind, I think God. Well. God put the valley there before I lived there because God protected me. Now, again, I was in first grade, 1965. And, you know, have you ever thought you didn't die before you got saved? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we see these folks, you know, we see during the tribulation, there's a lot of bad stuff happening. There's a lot of terrible things. People are dying all around. But I just think about some of these remnant that were in the midst of, you know, these judgments that we've talked about, and they were spared. God protected them before they got saved. If you have nothing else to thank God for, thank God that you got saved before you died. If you have nothing else, again, okay, is that the foreknowledge of God and all that? Certainly, I would not argue that at all. But here's what it really boils down to, because it is all God's grace. He doesn't have to save anybody. You know, He didn't have to send His Son to die for us. It is all God's grace. You'll notice in chapter 13 and verse 7, it was given unto Him, talking about the Antichrist, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. This is, you know, as we study the tribulation, we know this is going to happen. We understand that. And power was given Him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. again, these saints, they are overcome, it says. Bible says they are overcome, but it defines them as those whose names are written. And so all saved people are going to be persecuted during the tribulation. If you've read some of the fiction books that are out, and I think they've made films of some of these. By the way, remember, if it says it's fiction, it's just fiction. Okay, don't start quoting from the book like it's the Bible, because it's just fiction. Somebody wrote it. They wrote what they thought. Back when I was a teenager, I remember the book 666. How many of you remember that? That goes way back. And then I think there was another one called 1000, talking about the millennial reign. I think it seems like that's true. But again, these are different stories. People write their observation of it. But just about everybody recognizes Christian people during the tribulation will be persecuted. I think that's very, very clear in the scripture. And again, Christian people during today are persecuted. You know, this is what amazes me about Christianity. You know, we want to fight with each other. And while Islam is slowly moving in, hello, you know, we want to make mountains out of molehills. And I'm not talking about our convictions and our stand. We got to believe what we believe, and we're going to keep preaching what we preach. But I'm not interested in fighting with other Christians. I don't have time for that. And I'm very concerned about those that absolutely hate us. And we should be. They are out to get us. There is persecution. It's in other countries. It is getting very, very close to our soil. And we should be very, very aware of that. But again, all saved people will be persecuted during the tribulation. The remnant, especially a saved Jew, they are going to be persecuted. And again, why is that? Well, Some of it, I think, as far as a saved Jew, think about a saved Jew's Bible knowledge that he would have. Think about as the tribulation goes on, they would recognize things from the Bible. There, you know, all prophecy certainly is not simply in, as far as the second coming, is not just in the book of Revelation and in the New Testament. The Old Testament talks about it as well. And the Bible does indicate that in those days, look at Zechariah, if you would, Zechariah 12 and verse 10. And again, there are many prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the last days. Zechariah chapter 12. And verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And the Jews are going to see the Messiah see Jesus as the Messiah, Zechariah 13 and verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? And then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Obviously, a saved Jew, one who recognizes and realizes Jesus is the Messiah. They have a zeal. They have a knowledge of Old Testament. They have a recognition. They have a sense of guilt over not seeing Jesus as the Messiah, and therefore their salvation. Wow, you know, it's like it is an amazing thing. And so, to me, I think maybe they are more of a threat as far as their preaching. They're teaching, but they are persecuted, and Satan's out to get them. And he doesn't want them talking. He doesn't want them soul winning. He doesn't want them spreading the gospel. But they're going to spread the gospel. Read the book of Acts when God's people were persecuted. People are dying. Christians are dying. Again, the early church, that's how it was built. That's how the word of God was spread. If you can imagine this, you know, a persecution coming to Adrian, Michigan, and all of a sudden, you know, there's whatever. I mean, Islam, communism, you name it. I started to say Democrats. That's not nice. But anyway, and all of a sudden, you know, boom, it's here, and they're going house to house. What are we doing? We're fleeing. Well, wherever we go, we're going to take the truth. That's exactly what happened in the book of Acts. You know, the people were persecuted. The Bible says they were scattered. They took the gospel with them. And again, Satan's plan, well, I'll destroy them, I'll run them off. Well, it didn't work because everywhere they went, they carried the gospel. And, you know, there's certainly only so many places we could go if we actually fled. And if that were the case, you know, we could go into the wilderness of Canada. Well, I'm sure there's people there that need to hear the gospel. We could go into Mexico and I promise you it's not a very safe area, some of those areas down there, but there's people there that need to hear the gospel, right? Now, personally, if I were fleeing, I would be looking for Hawaii, Barbados, you know, mission fields like that. Okay. Anyway, so but there are people there that need the gospel as well. So the people, the remnant, saved, born again, Christian people, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior during the tribulation. Then capital B under the description is their, not only the people, but their protection. And ultimately, as with all saved people, God protects us. Now, ultimately, in the end, we are totally protected as a Christian. You know, does that mean we don't suffer? That doesn't mean we don't. We do suffer. We can suffer bodily injury. We can suffer bodily harm. We can suffer emotionally. We can be hurt. We can be stabbed in the back. There are numerous ways we can suffer, but ultimately, God protects us. Ultimately, God watches over us. As verse 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In other words, the knowledge that this isn't it. Okay, this body right here, aren't you glad? You know, as it starts to wrinkle up more and more and you get spots. That ought to really, you know, it's just spots. Every time a spot comes, somebody told me today, he said, Pastor, what, you got a, I don't remember how they worded it, but something about my forehead, you know, I had a hole in my forehead or something like that. And they just looked at it and it's this little cluster of wrinkle things here, you know. And I think somebody would say you need Botox, right? You're not going to put any of that stuff in me. I'm going to wrinkle up. I don't care. It doesn't matter. And but you know, as this old body wears out, aren't you glad that's not it? We're going to get a glorified body. Amen. We're not going to be all shriveled up and wrinkled in heaven. Amen. Some of you, it's going to take a lot to convince you. All right. That's all right. I'm going to work at it. But God, look, ultimately, we overcome. That's what I'm trying to say. Just like these in verse 11, when Satan accused them day and night, they overcame by the blood of Jesus Christ. We overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You know, it's through Him. And just like the Jews, as they're captive in Egypt, every captivity, everything you look at, you can see God's hand protecting His people. And when they're captive in Egypt and their cry goes out, eventually God takes care of His people. But He's always been taking care of them. You know, look at Exodus 19, verse 4, and just write it down here, because again, these are small lessons, but I didn't want to just skip over it. Exodus 19 and verse 4. Exodus 19, 4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Does that sound familiar? You know, you've seen what I did to Egypt. Well, what did he do? Well, you know, I love the story. He parted the Red Sea, and all the children of Israel went over, the Bible says, on dry ground, not even a smidgen, if you use that kind of terminology, not even a smidgen of mud on their shoes. Dry ground in the midst of the Red Sea. And they went over. The Bible says they all crossed over. And Pharaoh sends his army into the Red Sea to follow him. Well, there's no mud. And there they go. And then God brings the sea in on them. Isn't that good? I feel bad. Do you feel bad for the Egyptians a little bit? Phyllis? A little bit. All right. We're going to, you know, a little bit, because we have compassion. But that's exactly what happened. You know, and God took care of it. Now, did it look impossible? I'm going to be honest with you. I have been in some impossible situations. Now, I'm just saying where it's, to me, this isn't, you know, there's no way. There's just no way. You ever been, how many of you ever been in a situation like that? It's just, okay, good. There's a lot of people here. Okay. And honestly, you're Pharaoh and his goons are coming. Okay. They have chariots. You're not going to fight them. The Red Sea is here. Okay, there's nowhere to go. It doesn't look possible. Now, during the tribulation, you have to understand it is that scenario. There is, to say there are good things, we're going to point out a lot of good things during the month as far as Thanksgiving is concerned, but as far as the outlook, you know, every news report, if there is news, every internet flash, everything's going to be, you're going to die. Okay, that's just the tribulation for the Christian. There's just not going to be any other than wherever there's the word of God that says we win. It's kind of like the news today. It's kind of like the newspaper. It's kind of like what you hear out there. It just looks like, wow. I mean, have you checked out our debt, national debt, lately? Does anybody know what is it, Glenn? Do you know right now? Okay, so immediate, is that what somebody else? Don, was that you? 17 trillion, long term, 100 trillion. We can't even imagine a billion. You know, and it's like, what are we going to do? Well, here's what I'm going to do. When the trumpet sounds, I'm gone. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave my suit, my tie. They might be able to sell it. PA, Mike. I'm kind of looking for the rapture today, amen. But I'm just saying, what are we going to? Well, we're going to do. We're going to go on as Christians, and we're going to rejoice in the Lord because we can, because for us, our God protects us. What did He do for those Jews in the wilderness for 40 years? What did He do? Anybody know? All right, we'll read it. Deuteronomy 29. What did He do for them? Deuteronomy 29. Did they starve? did they thirst? Deuteronomy 29, verse 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes, here's the thing we don't even think about. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. He took care of them, and He always takes care of His people. My God shall supply all your need. All your need. God's people. We look around, we see persecution, and it's a horrible thing. And I'm telling you, there are Christians being persecuted in Muslim countries right now. You know, you say, well, you know, I'm not really, the Sharia law, that doesn't mean anything to me. Listen to me. That kind of stuff, you know, you better get an attitude that says it's sin, it's wrong, it's wicked, it cannot be allowed in our country. Amen. And we better stand strong because one of these days, you know, it's okay, you know, we're old. Well, I'm not that old. But no, anyway, but listen to me. What about your kids? And even more than that, how about our grandkids? Okay, if you're starting to feel like, you know, I'm just weary, I'm tired of fighting, please do me a favor and walk down that back hall back there and look in those rooms. Please do that. Look at the little babies in the cribs. Go look in if you dare to. Look in at the 2 and 3 year olds. Amen. Go in there and look at the 4 and 5 year olds. If you're getting weary and you know, I just can't, I'm tired of fighting, I'm ready to go. And listen to me, we've got to understand that there is serious persecution of Christians in our world today, and it's getting very, very, very close. Ushers, I need you to come if you would, and we'll receive our offering for the class. I do want to continue, so just go ahead. We've got just a couple of minutes here. Verse 11 is it's very clear. They love not their lives unto the death. You're in a position where, okay, let's all be honest. I mean, there's probably no one in this room that is going to stand up and say, "I'm just ready to die." Okay, now, if you feel that way, I will counsel with you during the week and try to help you with that. But I'm just saying, most of us, you know, we're not looking to die. We're not wanting to die today. Okay, we're ready for heaven. We're excited about heaven. But we're not just out here, I'm going to walk in front of a train. And if you are, you need counseling. All right, because let God take care of all that. When it's time, it's time, and he'll take care of that. But to be able to say, okay, my life is precious to me. I enjoy breathing. Amen. I enjoy my heart beating. Okay, there was a time when I went through some unique health issues, and I'd try to go to bed at night, and I could, my heart was going wild, and I could hear it. Okay, you ever been when you can hear your heart? And I used to say, Lord, help me not to hear my heartbeat. And it hit me one day when I was talking to the Lord that I'm asking him to stop my heart from beating. I quit doing that. Again, understand, you know, whatever issues we have to come to grips with, okay, I love my life, but I'm ready to go. If my life, if it's between denying Jesus or losing my life, then I'll lose my life. I'm not going to deny him. Amen. I'm not going to deny. My testimony is that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And if you have to take my life because that's my testimony, I'm not changing my testimony. Now you say, well, Bridger, I'm not sure I'm really there yet. Well, I don't think you have to be right now. We're not setting up a guillotine during the invitation. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad when we sing, have thine own way, you're not coming up here to get your head cut off. But I surrender all. Whack! Praise the Lord. We don't have to go through that. Not yet. But you understand during the tribulation, the people are protected. They are strengthened by the Lord. They are watched over by the Lord. But the day is going to come for most of them. It will come where their life will become death physically. But they still have eternal life. And verse 17, again, the dragon was wroth with the woman, and God delivers the woman, and therefore the dragon goes after the remnant, saved people even more than ever. And just the persecution will be relentless. We will learn of, during the Antichrist rule of the mark of the beast, most of us have heard, you know, we've talked about that. That, in fact, most people, how many years ago did we start this study? Three? It's been a long time. But I know, you know, a lot of people, I want to hear about that mark of the beast. And in the time we started this study, the possibilities of marking people, wow, has that escalated? Do you see all the tattoos on people? Unbelievable. Do you understand that maybe 10 years ago, I mean, I understand there'd be a military person or there'd be just a real unique person, you know, there'd be a couple of them, but I'm talking about just everyday, average, normal people. It's just a common, you get a tattoo, you know, it's just a common thing. Now, I don't know how it's going to be, but all of a sudden it opens. You know, we used to, I remember, and I don't know if Don did this when, you know, preaching years ago. You know, we used to say, well, I think it's going to be an invisible mark. It's going to be an implant under the skin and you know, and all those kind of things. Or it's not going to be, you know, 666. Or it's going to be, you know, all these different things. It's going to be, you know, it's not going to be so obvious. But now we would almost have to think, maybe it really is going to be obvious because if you don't have a tattoo, you're not cool. Of course, God does tell us not to mark or put prints on our body. You ought to hear people try to explain that away. Anyway, all right, I've run out of time. We will pick up at Roman numeral 2. We will finish this lesson next week. We'll start on lesson 29, the arising beast from the sea, and all of that next week, same time, same place.